You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on October 9, 2024, and is titled, When Imitators Rule. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
We don't have any music again tonight because we've got new grandbabies and things going on. The Prestons had a new grandbaby, and the Murphs got a new grandbaby. We're growing the church one baby at a time. So congratulations to everybody doing that. So tonight we're just going to tear into it, which we got plenty to do and plenty to talk about. So we'll get started here. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to get Shawnee up here. She's going to tell us a little something about some voting stuff that we need to know about. So anyhow, let's pray right quick, and we'll get to going. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for the night. We thank you for your word tonight of testimony, Lord. We thank you for your word of truth that comes out of your Bible. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your Holy Spirit that reveals these things. Help us to understand and to know what's of you and what's of man. Help us to be able to discern. Help us to walk in the power that you've given us, the power from on high, to stand and to trust and to believe and to see your mighty hand at work in many, many ways. So, Lord, we just bless you today, and we give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, Lord, that you'll lead this teaching tonight by the power of your Holy Spirit, that it not be of me, that it be of you. And we praise you and give you glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Shawnee wants to talk to us a little bit about some voting stuff and how we can kind of help some others get out and vote and do. Just real quick before she gets up here, just kind of make your way. The proclamation, and if you're just new here tonight and you haven't heard the proclamation or read it, for the praying on the 23rd of October, that'll be 2 weeks from tonight. And that day, a day of fasting, prayer, and humiliation, we're going to talk about that some more tonight and give some historical testimonies, some personal testimonies, some of this stuff. But what we'll do next Wednesday, just so you're prepared, next Wednesday when we come, we'll share communion. We'll talk about what's really going on. That's the beginning of the Feast of Booths. We'll talk about that, try to keep everybody fairly educated. But I want to encourage you, go look at this stuff on your own. Don't be so lazy that you just come once a week and listen a little bit that I tell you. You're going to remember about 10% of it. The other 90% you're going to have all screwed up anyhow. So go figure it out what we're talking about here. Because that's the problem. For the last 1,700 years, if men and women would have learned for themselves and realized for themselves and realized their faith for themselves, we wouldn't be where we are today. We'd have protected our seed. Every generation is the seed of a nation, and we'd have taken care of it. We wouldn't have left it up to somebody else to take care of. We'd have taken care of it. This nation would be a different place today had we just not followed the pattern of whatever some type of leadership told us we should do and how we should do. By the time we get done with all this, there's a big portion of the people that don't listen to me on a regular basis. For one reason, they don't want to. Because if you do, I'm going to use that Bible, and that Bible's going to make you change. You do not get to do that Bible and stay the same. I'm not doing Easter anymore. It makes me want to puke. We're going to enjoy Passover, and when I get through by the 5th of November, and I get through trying to help bring this nation to Passover, honest to goodness, I can't wait till it gets here, and I'm going to get off that bus, hopefully. And I'm going to educate my family. And that's what I'm going to do. Because as we go forward, if you haven't noticed, we are now finally again the nation of we the people. Because your government is inept. It won't work. It's we the people. The largest, strongest branch of government in the United States of America, we the people. And when we the people pray, when we the people decide, we don't let the Pope decide for us. We don't let the Grand Poobah decide for us. We don't let the President decide for us. If it's within the realm of the Constitution, then it's legal. We don't let them decide. I'm not going to let them decide. I'm not going to let another man tell me what to believe, how to believe. I'm not going to do it. That's why when you challenge me on a little stuff, and a couple people have brought up a couple things. Good. I'm a hard nut to crack. Done been tested. And I want to encourage all of you to be the same way. Get where you can stand the test. Get where you've realized what you believe, and it's your belief. It's your faith. It's your true knowledge of the Word, not because you read it, but because you put it into practice. That your house is built on the rock. Not this house. This isn't a house. This is just a tin barn that someday will get flattened by something. When we do get to the other side, this shed will not be there. So get your house on the rock. Get your house established. As we lead up to the 23rd, this is a time where the group is going to get smaller. You know why? Because this is a call to get on your knees and ask God, what about my religious walk that disappoints him? That's huge. You know, I talked to some pastors here a while back, and I just asked them, I said, let me do a hypothetical right quick. Just a hypothetical. If you heard from the Lord, and you knew it was him, and he told you everything you do on Sunday morning ticks him off, would you keep doing it? I'm still waiting on an answer. Why would you? Because somebody told you to? Because listen, what we gather up in America and do every week, you're going to have a hard time finding it in here. You're going to have a hard time finding it in here. And we call it Christianity. And Christianity is nothing more than faith by people who have realized because they're born again. That's it. That's it. And so we're going to, next week, we'll take communion. We'll begin the process of a week of self-examination for all that want to participate. By the time we get here on the 23rd, we're going to take communion again. I'm going to use bigger crackers because hopefully everybody will be hungry. You'll have fasted from dusk the night before till we get here that night. And we'll have sought the Lord. Now, I'm not, that's a Wednesday, so I'll be at the cow sale. So I'm not going to just get down on my knees and stay there 24 hours. But I'm going to be prayerful. I'm going to be mindful. I'm going to pray with people. I'm going to encourage others. Hey, would you want to pray with me today over our nation, over your family? I'm going to utilize that opportunity and just see where it goes. So I want to encourage y'all to do the same. So that's kind of the schedule. That's kind of what we got going. And two more things. Sunday morning, for anybody that's listening out there, maybe some of y'all, Sunday morning I'm going to be at Paladura Cowboy Church at Canyon. That's the red building on the north side of the road coming in. They're going to serve pancakes about 9 o'clock. And then about 10:30, I'm going to do my thing. And then we're going to leave there, and we're going to go to Clarendon. And at 5 o'clock that night at Sandell Drive-In Movie Theater, we're going to do it again at 5 o'clock, and then they're going to serve brisket or something afterwards. So everybody's invited to come. There's no charge for any of it. And we're going to talk about this stuff. So anyhow, that's all I got going. Come here. What song are you going to sing? No, tell them what you got going.
Okay, first of all, I just, you know, we're really blessed here because I know for a fact that there's other places, other churches that if you would have gone to the man at the front, as he calls himself, they would have said, no, we can't do this. So thank you. I'm thankful. And I'm thankful we have a place where we can gather to share things like this. So I think as we're all concerned about our country, most of us are concerned about our country. We're concerned about the election that's coming up. And we know as Christians that we're to be praying, and we know as patriots that we're to vote, but there's so many of us out there, we want to do more. We want to be boots on the ground. We want to see a change made. And so while I was doing some researching, I actually belonged to this group for a while. The group is called My Faith Votes. And so I'm just going to read you a little bit of what they stand for so you'll have a little bit better understanding. They start off with each year, 1 million of registered Christian voters, and that's about 25 million, don't make it to the polls. Right Now is the name of this little project that they have, is working to change that by motivating and praying over Christian voters in key states. Organized by My Faith Votes, a nonpartisan ministry, Right Now encourages Christians to make an impact by sending personalized letters to voters in swing states. Participants receive all necessary, so that would be if you were to sign up for this, participants receive all necessary materials, instructions, needing only to provide the paper, the envelopes, and the postage and a prayer. So you can sign up if you chose to do this, and I pray that you will. You can sign up for 10 or 1,000 letters to be sent out. The cool thing about this, based on previous elections for places where they did this, there was a 57% increase in voter turnout. So that lets you know that this is impactful. So it's real simple. You go to myfaithvotes.org, and hopefully Mr. Leonard will put that link up again for us tonight. So it'll be easy to access. So it's myfaithvotes.org, and then there's a little red box, and it says Start Right Now, but it's W-R-I-T-E, Right Now. You just click on it. Then it's going to pull up. You'll put in your personal information. You tell them how many letters you want to send. And then it will download your email. To your email, it'll download a link to the letter. The letter is already printed for you. They have 4 or 5 different suggested things to write at the bottom in your handwritten penmanship. And then you do not sign your last name. You sign it your first name. Then on the envelope, it's the same thing. They print off a sheet, and it has their names and their addresses right there for you. And so you just go ahead and write that down. But when you do the return address envelope, I just put Shawnee S, period. So you do not put down your return address. So that should be a safe way to reach other people. But I just like the fact that they've researched. And they know, they have identified these people as Christians. They are believers. But for some reason, they don't go vote. And so hopefully this is a tool that we can all use. If everyone that's tuned in tonight or is sitting in this room tonight just sent 10 letters, look at the impact we could make, hopefully, to change this country, to turn this country around. And I believe with God's blessings, that's going to happen. So
real good.
For those of you here, okay, I signed up for 100, and I kind of was a little overzealous. And so after about 25, I went ahead and I wrote my note at the bottom, and then I made copies for the other 75. So there's about 75 back there. If nothing else, just take one to read so you know what your letter's going to say, and then that would help you know, yeah, I want to do this, or no, I don't. And so anyway, they're back there. Or if you want to just take 10 of them or 20 or whatever and mail them out.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good job. Thank you.
Good job. Hopefully we'll get good response out of all that right there. Well, hey, let's dive in right quick tonight. I think we've got some pretty interesting subject matter as we move forward tonight. One of the things that we've noticed and a lot of people there's just a lot of information out there. If y'all notice that, if you got your telephone and or you got a TV, now TV you can't, you pretty much get a one-sided thing on the TV because all that's owned by one team and they kind of write their own story and then copy off each other. But when you get on Facebook and different news items, news channels, different stuff, there's a lot of different things. There's a lot of conspiracy theories in the world today, a lot. And there's a lot of things that are happening. And I couldn't tell you which is true and which isn't, okay? So when it comes to rearranging our weather, creating disasters, all these different kind of things, I mean, anything's possible. Do you know man has been trying to take God's place for a long time? If anybody ever calls you a Nimrod, he was a Babylonian. He was the architect of a big tower that God did not enjoy, and it caused a lot of division in the people. We couldn't understand each other anymore. He didn't like that happening. And so as I've thought about all this, and here again, just like so many times throughout my Christian life, I just every now and then just want to stand up and call out the church. What are y'all doing? I mean, crying out loud. We get in a pile every week. We sit around, listen to same old. Now, maybe not so much right here because I'm just not that easy to listen to all the time. That's why this thing ain't full. I could change my story and fill this up. In 2 weeks, I could have this building packed. And I think I could, in 2 weeks, make you feel like you've been touched by Jesus, even if you don't know him. I think I could connect with your feelings, and I could trick you. A guy can make a lot of stuff happen. People can make a lot of things happen. But when we get to monkeying around in God's business, you know, there's a lot of science that gets monkeying around in God's business. And so now when we look at the situation that's gone out on the East Coast, there's some things we need to learn and observe. But I want to challenge the church all the time. Where's our faith at? Where are we? You know, if you were listening to that yesterday morning, my Bible study yesterday morning, and the little internet thing was squirreling around there and it kept wanting to click off and click off. But I pointed at that telephone half a dozen times. In the name of Jesus, those airwaves belong to my Father. Now, to your average Sunday morning pew potato, that would sound nuts. Sound like I've been smoking pot or something. It's the truth. Who created all this? And listen, if you only believe that because somebody told you that and you decided it was a good idea to believe it, that's not faith. Faith is realized. The only way you realize anything is by the power of the Holy Spirit. The only way you realize anything kingdomly. Otherwise, you're just going to guess at circumstances and different things. You're not going to know. When you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know. Without a doubt. Now, you may not know everything in the Bible. You may not get it all. But there's a portion of this that you've realized for yourself. It's yours. Nobody can take it away. Nobody knock you off your perch. You know. On your dumbest day, you still know. Because you have realized. So I got a couple questions. In America today. Are we just weak because we're nice or we just don't know?
Are we dumb because we're lazy, or we just haven't realized? Let me add to that just a little bit, because I've dabbled around this. Well, now I don't dabble anymore. I'm just point blank, straight up. But that Easter thing, I want you to find it in the Bible. Yes, Jesus rose from the grave. I want you to tell me where he commanded us to make a day out of that day. Because there was a Passover, and that's when it all happened. There was a resurrection on the third day. That happened. Then he stayed here for 40 more days. And then 10 days after that, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit when mankind finally realized what happened a month and a half ago. Until the Holy Spirit came, nobody knew what happened. There's some Marys run down there, and there's some people found him in a hole, and there's some people that talked to an angel, and then Jesus walked in a room with a handful of them, and they poked on him, prodded. Thomas even wallered him around a little bit. Peter looked and acted like an everyday Sunday afternoon team roper his entire life. His whole resume was saying stupid stuff and getting in a fight. That was his whole resume. Until Acts chapter 2. And for the first time in recorded history, Peter stood up and told of the kingdom of God. Because the Holy Spirit had been given, and now he realized. That's why Passover is essential. Because that leads us to Pentecost. That's when the church was born. That's when man began to realize who Messiah really is. Those things are important. So if you'll operate on a man-made system, you could miss God for 1,700 years. Next thing you know, you'll listen to men who play God, like short guys named Fauci. You know, wisdom is proved right by our actions. On the first day, I told everybody he was an idiot, and it took 5 years to prove me right. Just a phony little idiot. So men will play God, and they'll create fear and all kinds of things. I mean, honestly, truly, when Al Gore started with global warming, I wouldn't trust him to feed my horses. First of all, I think he'd be too lazy to get them fed by noon. But somebody will come up with these things, and then they'll get to doing things. They'll want to change the atmosphere. They'll want to intervene. They want to insert themselves in productivity issues, weather issues, agriculture issues, husbandry issues. And we want to interject ourselves. So what, are we telling God that we just trust the intelligence of men more than we would trust the ownership of God? Maybe we haven't realized who he really is, because man has been imitating God for a long time. So right here, prior to the Passover, in Exodus chapter 7, Moses and Aaron walking around there. You know, Moses couldn't talk too good. So God enlisted his brother to be the priest. Now, I'm not going to try this tonight because I don't want to pick up a snake. So I'm just holding my stick for effects. But Aaron had a rod. And so right here in 7 verse 8, chapter 7 verse 8, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod, cast it before Pharaoh and let it become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Now, just for kicks, hypothetical, because we've had some crazy things happen around. I've been here 22 years.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.